Psalm 4, and the book right next to it to the right, Proverbs 4. I would highly recommend to you putting into your life for at least a couple years the habit of reading 5 Psalms a day and 1 Proverb a day. The easiest way to do it is govern it by whatever the date is. Today happens to be the 4th, okay? So you'd read Psalm 4 and then just keep adding 30 to it because it's how many days in standard month. So it would be Psalm 4, Psalm 34, Psalm 64, Psalm 94, Psalm 124. I don't always get through it just right. Sometimes I mess up and add a 40 or a 50 or whatever. But what it does is this. There's something special about the Psalms. You know, you can't read 5 Psalms a day without being reminded to do something. And you know what that is? Pray. You can't read 5 Psalms scattered throughout here without being reminded to pray. But there's more there, and we're going to go through Psalm 4, and you'll be praising the Lord at Psalm 4 and not other ones. There's only 8 verses. Hallelujah. But I want to read Psalm 4, and I want to then read just one verse in Proverbs 4. We'll pray and let you be seated and keep your Bibles open. Now watch this. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O you sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I want to direct your attention to verse 1, where he said, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress, and then hold your place there, if you would, or stick something in there. But just one verse, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Father God, we pray you bless these scriptures, the ones we're going to look at, the things you've put upon our heart. And God, I pray that not a believer would leave tonight without having gotten something from you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Now, look with me in Psalm 4. And I want you to keep in mind that in Proverbs chapter 4, he said, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more, more and more. Now, there is in human nature something about us that we know there needs to be growing. We need to know there be increase. But here's the thing. Have you ever noticed when you get to be a grown-up, it's not always good if your body keeps growing? Because once it quits growing up, it's going to start growing out, amen. And the thing about it is there must be different kinds of growing then. Do you know that most people, if they listen to the world, they would think somehow they have to somehow find a way to make more and more and more and more money. But that's not possible for the vast majority of people. And so this thing that we find within us is a Bible thing, that light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I want to talk about a principle here in this verse, in this whole chapter. We're going to take the whole psalm. But look what he said. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Now notice this statement. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And I want to study with you a little while tonight on getting yourself a larger life. You know, some people say, you know, get a life and all that kind of thing. I'm talking about getting a larger life biblically. Bible, spiritually, getting a larger life. He said that light shines more and more unto the perfect day. Now the Psalms, you know, there are many of them. There's 150, and they're mighty works for us. And they minister to us, and they magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. This Psalm has both doctrine and devotion in it, mixed in, and a lot of them do. It is amazing how many of them do. And so it's a great book in your Bible. In this particular psalm, he's talking about the fact that he makes a statement, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Now, that kind of walk runs contrary to how most people think. Most people want their life to get larger and their abilities to get larger, and then something comes that is not a challenge. Okay? But God says here, has him right under inspiration, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. You cannot have a larger life in God if some things don't happen. Now, let's look at a foundation here. Look at, first of all, I'll give you three or four things. First one is the position that he had by faith. Look in verse 1. O God of my righteousness. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He had the position of faith. The position by faith is God is my righteousness. Now that doesn't mean that I don't pursue righteousness in response to that. But what it means is I'm not going about to establish my own righteousness. Because I can't. If I was as good as I could be, and they stood me next to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd look as black as I could be, and as dark as I could be standing next to Jesus. So next to God's righteousness, Jesus Christ is called God's righteousness. So standing next to God's righteousness, I can't have any righteousness. So guess what I did many, many years ago? Just about this time of year almost, 1973, I made God my righteousness. And so he starts with the position by faith. You have to have that. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your substitute, as your payment for sin, as your righteousness, then there's nowhere to start with it. You're work trying to become righteous and work righteousness. Okay? But, oh, there's some things in this passage that talks about the fact that once I have this position by faith, then God puts pressure on me on purpose. Do you know what weight does? It's pressure. I don't know if you've ever been underwater very far or not, but I've done. Philip put me through a diving course one time that I knew, and the further down you go, the more pressure you feel. It's a really weird feeling. And you go down a little bit and clear your ears, and you go down there, and stuff's squeezing in on you and everything. So much so that if you aren't careful, if you get you a big old lung full of air down there and come up and don't keep breathing, your lungs can crack. All kind of weird stuff happens. It's amazing. But God says, I want you to have this position by faith. So you start with, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Here's why. Because then no matter what happens, I know I'm saved. This isn't about me being lost. This isn't about me being in trouble. This is about God giving me a larger life. There are a lot of Christians that never, ever, ever get a really larger life. And we'll talk about why a little bit in a minute, but this pressure has a purpose. So there's the position by faith, and there's the pressure that has a purpose. He says here that he enlarged him when he was in distress. Chapter 25, Psalm 25, he makes a statement, and many times through the Psalms he speaks of these things, of these distresses and stuff. In Psalm 25 and verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged, O bring thou me out of my distresses. Do you know that when the Apostle Paul wrote, and you ought to at least write down 2 Corinthians chapter 4 to 6, what a great companion passage to this subject we're looking at, because when the Apostle Paul wrote, he spoke of grace being so strong that he was able to avoid being in distress. He said, I'm troubled on every side, 2 Corinthians 4:8, yet not distressed. Now, you ever wonder where you get the word stressed from? It's an abbreviation of distressed. We use a lot of abbreviations. On the racetrack, we talk about worming horses. That didn't mean we went and gave them parasites. It means we dewormed them. We just left the D off, the D-E. You know, have you wormed that horse? Oh, yeah, I fed him a bucket of them yesterday. No, I dewormed him. Okay? And so stress, sometimes people think, well, you know, I don't want no pressure. Now, the greater the load you have, the more need to trust him. If you don't let God give you a greater load, here's what a lot of people do. Most people do not enlarge, they exchange. Here's what they do. This is why they don't go further with the Lord. They don't go further in their life. Lord says, I'm going to put some pressure on you. And so they, well, Lord, if you do that, I'm just not going to do this anymore, and I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to exchange this pressure you put on me for something else, and I'm not going to let there ever be an increase of pressure. I'm not going to let you increase the load of my life. That's what a lot of people do. And you know what? They never grow. They never grow in Christ. They never grow in their church commitment. They never grow in their leadership. They never grow in their parenting. They never grow in their... They don't grow. Because they're not going to let God press them down and make them learn to do all those things and add more things. Now, you know me. I teach you that if you... there are boundaries, limits. But God said here, He said, He enlarged me in when I was in distress. Why? Because distress, that the kind He's talking about in Psalm 4, that's what makes you larger. That's what increases your life. Now, there's some things about it we'll look at, okay? It's not just like you gut it out and all of a sudden, you know. But more people want to be enlarged than are willing to take the pressure. Look at Psalm 107 real quick, and I just want to throw a principle at you that we can learn from some from others who kept trying to get out from under God's pressure. You're ready to watch this. He brings them out across the Red Sea. He brings them into freedom. He lets them settle down a little bit, and then he sends 12 spies in. The 12 spies go in, and they see a place that is absolutely abundant, flowing with milk and honey, grapes, clusters of grapes that big. I mean, look like, you know, cue balls hanging on the vine. And they come back, but there was something they did see there that caused them a little distress. It was called giants. All right? You know, I remember one time when we were racing horses, we moved from Detroit to Miami. And I had a letter from my basketball coach introduced that I could take and introduce myself to the, supposedly to the basketball coach at this high school I was going to. What I didn't know was I was going to end up going to a high school that had so many students, they had a whole day for a couple thousand students from 7 in the morning to noon, and a whole day from 12:15 to 5 or whatever. So they had, we had like 6,000 students in this one high school. So it's springtime and it's spring basketball season. So I walk into the gym and I'm watching everybody. And the shortest guy there is like 6'3". And I'm 5'8 when I stand upright. Okay? The shortest guy is 6'3". I mean, it's nothing for a guy to be 6'5", 6'6". And there's like 100 of them. And I took one look. And I remember this as clear as a day. I walked out of that gym, and there was one of those plastic round trash cans. And I had that letter in my hand. And I threw it in the trash can, and I went out and took up golf. I thought, man, I don't want to carry water and towels for these guys, because that's all that's going to happen in this gym. Let me tell you something. Out of 100 guys, they're going to pick 40. And I'm going to even, no. They're not even going to, they're going to say, where'd that guy go? Is he down there somewhere? You say, what's that about? About giants. I never a hope in the world. I wasn't going to bother. But I'm saying to you tonight that what you and I have to understand is they had an opportunity. And what they did with that opportunity was they let the pressure get to them. They exchanged the promised land for the wilderness. They wouldn't let God enlarge their faith. They wouldn't let God enlarge their stamina. If you're not careful, folks, you will be so perfectionistic that, no, I'm not going to risk this thing. I can do this, but I can't do that. The Lord says, no, you're going to do both, or you won't grow. See, it's not Him hurting us. It's just, that's the only way to get enlarged. Look at Psalm 107. Look, verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Right? Look at verse 10. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. Verse 13, then they cried. This process goes all the way through this chapter. Verse 19, then they cried. Verse 28, then they cried. Why? Why? They would not be enlarged. In Psalm 4 here, He called and God enlarged him. The difference is, I've got to say, Lord, I'm not going to ask you to take the pressure off, but I am going to ask you to help me through it. And in so doing, it gets larger. Do you know if a person just sat around, their heart would never get big enough and strong enough to propel them through life? If from the time of a child, they lived a sedentary life. And so what happens is you have to exercise it. He calls it chastening in some places. He calls it a lot of things. Notice then that prayer is the thing. Prayer. You've got the position by faith. You've got the pressure. And then you've got prayer. Call, call, call. Ready? I've got to read my Bible. If you don't, he won't. If you don't, he won't. If you don't call, he won't answer. You know that if I don't call somebody, they're not going to answer. Amen? I mean, I got a call today. You ever get a call from somebody and you can tell they didn't call you? They just, their phone hit the button, or they pushed the button in their pocket, and he's talking away, and I'm saying, hello, hello? And I know who it is. It's, my phone tells me who it is. And he just had his phone in his pocket. And I know he's going to have a missed call, and he's going to figure out, what's that all about? So one of the days I'll call him and say, hey, the only time I hear from you is when you call me by accident. I got a call one time when I was on the other side of the world from my dad, and I answered the phone, and he said, hello? I said, hey, how you doing? I recognized his voice. He goes, oh, rats. What do you mean, oh, rats? He goes, I pushed the wrong speed dial button. And he went to hang up. I said, you ain't hanging up. I said, it took me this long to get a call from you. It took me 2 years to get a call. You're going to talk. And he just laughed. He goes, yeah, but this is my dime. I said, that's right. Listen, prayers, your prayers are different. Your prayers are different. Your prayers are different when the pressure's on. Am I right or not? Your prayers are completely different when the pressure's on. You know, most people's prayers are about like praying over the food. You know, good food, good meat. Thank you, Lord. Let's eat. Right? Boy, it's not the same when its pressure's on, brother. Boy, oh boy, what a difference in your prayers. God says, I want to enlarge your prayer life. So guess what? Pressure. Some of y'all avoid pressure too much. You avoid the pressure. You say, well, I fear this and I fear that. Well, that's why we're going to talk about this. He says, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. If you're not careful, you're your righteousness. If you're not careful, you're your strength. If you're not careful, you're everything. God says, no, you got to let me be your everything. While I use you to do it, you got to let me be your everything. A larger life. Well, then, I want to talk for a few minutes about personal enlargement then. You've got a position by faith. You've got this pressure the Lord puts on him in verse 1. You've got this prayer. Look, hear my prayer, verse 1. Look at the end of it. Hear my prayer. This is a prayer of pressure. It says, Lord, have you ever noticed you can pray some prayers, and it's like, well, yeah, I hope he answers it. Usually it's for others. You'll get that in a second. Your prayer for others don't always have the intensity that your prayers for yourself do. Am I right or not? Huh? Yeah. Now, if that other is someone that matters to you as much as your own life or something, then it's different. That's when you know you've entered in intercessory prayer, is when it gets to the point where they matter. And the tears flow for them. But he said, hear my prayer. And so now let's look at this thing of personal enlargement. Now, it's not about possessions. It's not about God enlarging our possessions. Look at 2 Corinthians with me. Hold your place here. We're going to come back here and tidy this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is where we have to beware of jettisoning, of casting off, of exchanging, of excusing things, because we must say to the Lord, I'm willing to be enlarged. Lord, you do what it takes to enlarge me. You do what it takes to enlarge me. I'm telling you, very, very few people, and I don't know that it's any of us here, to be honest with you, but very few people have the discipline to enlarge themselves in something by just sheer discipline. It takes stimulus and things. These guys that are professional athletes, they hire a trainer. They pay them a couple $100,000 a year and more to make them exercise so that they can make their $5 million a year. Yeah. And they sign contracts that says, I'm allowed to tell you, get up and do your push-ups, you know.
and you can't fire me if I make you do something you don't want to do. Why? Because even the guy that's getting paid the $5 million knows that he has trouble sometimes getting up and exercising.
Well, in spiritual things, in mental things, in life things, it's even more so. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says in verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straightening us, but you're straightening your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And I would say to you tonight, as my children, be enlarged. Let God give you a larger life. Take what He's doing and take it the way He wants it instead of constantly trying to get rid of the thing. Now you say, that's why He says, ready? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. But you see, most people don't want to have the pressure on that they need to pray about it. So most people want just enough to get it dispatched. I tell you what I find in church work. People, one set of pressures come, and so suddenly they're not doing these duties anymore. I'm exchanging them. God says, but now you can't get larger. You haven't gotten any larger. It's still the same. You ever have somebody talk about having their plate full? Well, you know what you got to do? You got to the point where you say, Lord, give me a bigger plate. You would do that if we were serving a buffet of something you really liked. And I hand you a little saucer. And I said, it's one time through. No matter how artful you are, you'd rather have a bigger plate. Amen. And so sometimes we've got to be willing to do that. And I want to go down through the passage here and just encourage you along those lines. While you're in 2 Corinthians over there, in chapter 6, for example, in 2 Corinthians, look at a couple of verses with me. Look, for example, at verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. If you want to serve God, if you want to be, you know, several of y'all here, you know God wants you in the work of God. It's going to happen. And while it's happening, the Lord says, you feeling this pressure? You go, I sure am. Your prayers sound like you're getting it. Prayers sound like the pressure's getting on. Well, Lord, they're on. The pressure's on. Look at chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just want to give you an idea here. Now I'm going to give you an illustration, and we'll look at this psalm and just make some notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. He said unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you get to the point that it's too much for you is when He can enlarge you. Because where you're weak, He's strong. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, mark this, in distresses. For who? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I can't get strong in Christ. His power can't rest upon me if I keep saying take it off. Okay, illustration. I couldn't find one to bring in here tonight, so I'm going to have to get you to picture it. Because it might have been a mess anyway. What are we likened to? He's likened to the good what? The good shepherd. And so what are we likened to? Sheep. Now, amongst other things, we're soldiers, we're servants, we're soul winners, we're stewards. We're sheep, right? Now, you may not have been around sheep much. But if you want a sheep, if a sheep wants to stay alive for a long period of time, supposing that they have a process of thinking, since we all believe in evolution, not. Okay? That sheep stays alive by bearing what? Wool. We call it wool, fleece. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've been around sheep or not, but when a sheep starts the yearly cycle off, it starts it off right after shearing, and they look a bit like a greyhound with some scars on them. Okay? They're funny looking. They probably feel real funny, too. I mean, if you had this big old giant furry thing on, I mean, if you guys had this big old giant head of hair, and then you went to the Marine Corps, got shaved, you'd feel different. You'd be wondering, where is everything? And that's what happens to them. So they start it off And do you know, over that next year, if they're going to stay alive and be worth anything, you know what they've got to do? They've got to continue to enlarge. Now, you may not know it, but when you see that sheep with that gigantic fleece on them, it's heavy. And their little legs that started off with this little old greyhound thing and they're running around, by the end of the year, if they get knocked over on their side, some of them, they're actually going to die if somebody didn't pick them up. They're going to be what's called cast because they're carrying such a large load. And you and I are not worth anything to the Lord unless we can carry a big load. Now, occasionally, what he's supposed to get the blessing of shearing us and taking our fleece and making use of it, and occasionally he'll give you, you know, a blessing. That blessing isn't always the load going away. The blessing is, Lord, you're making me stronger. I'm enlarging. Do you know, when that lamb has a little fleece, that's not acceptable 5 years later. And in a Christian, what God says is, what was okay when you're a baby Christian, what was okay in the early days, I need you to let me enlarge you. I need to be able to put some pressure, some weight on you, a load on you. I tell you what a lot of Christians want. They want to get sheared about 10 times a year. The problem is the wool's no good then. It's useless. And so is the sheep. They want to get sheared about 10 times a year so they don't have to carry a burden. They want their church service to be easy. They want their Christian life to be easy. They want each stage along life. When they go from one stage of life to a different stage, they want to shove this stuff aside. Oh, I can't bear. Lord says, no, you've got to enlarge, friend. And listen, he's not going to hurt you with it. But what it does is it makes us more useful to him and a blessing to him and others. Listen, when you and I enlarge, it enlarges our ability to help other people. It makes such a difference when we are enlarged. Now, some things down through this psalm. Look at Psalm 4, and we'll just walk through it together. But look at it with me. Enlarged, or bigger, okay? He gives us bigger shoulders so that we can bear this load. He said, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And so then he begins to pray. We can handle more things, just like that sheep. In verse 3, he gives us enlarged separation. Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, which I just showed you about being enlarged, the very next passage, many of you know it, listen, is verses 14 to 18. And you know what that's about? Come out from among them and be ye separate. Be not unequally yoked. You know what he says? You'll only get as large as your separation is. Now, not holier than thou, but it's listen, the greater the distance between me and the world, the less distance between me and God. Because the world is at enmity with God. So the larger the distance, when he says, Mike, would you enlarge the distance between you and the world? Yes, sir, I will. That doesn't mean I don't pray for sinners and talk to people who don't have Christ or have needs. But myself, my life, my friendships aren't worldly. Why? Because I want him to enlarge me. Now watch. In so doing, I'll help somebody else. Because they might be coming along behind me and they need to get enlarged. Have you ever noticed that nothing goes beyond leadership? A church does not go beyond whatever is going on in leadership as far as the world goes. If the world comes in the door with leadership, everyone else is going to have it. Let him enlarge your separation. Look at verse 2. He said, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. You know what he says? He says, listen. He said, enlarge your strength. Here's what I picture some Christians doing. Ready? You fellas will understand this. You ladies can picture it. Picture a guy and he gets him a barbell, okay, like before all these machines. He's got free weights on him. And so he's got, 225s on this side, 225s on this side. So he's got 100 pounds plus a bar. Right? And he says, look, add a 25 to each side. But while you're doing it, you know what he does? He takes one off of each side.
So he says, yeah, put another. So he goes to the, he said, yeah, I had him add 225s today. He didn't tell him. He said, I had him take off 225s today. You getting me? That's how a lot of Christians operate if you're not careful. Listen, it's not a matter of saying, Lord, get me out from under it. It's, Lord, hold me up. Teach me, enlarge me so that I can be something for somebody, so that I can help somebody else who's going through this, because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he bore that cross. Enlarging your strength. Look at verse 2, verse 6. With that, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Enlarged suffering. He says in James 5, take the prophets for an example. I've thought so many times, if we would just slow down and think about the prophets, God could help us to enlarge our suffering a little bit. There are sufferings that are going to knock you out of the Christian race if you say, God, I'll do this as long as this doesn't happen. Or, Lord, I'll stand right, I'll preach right, I'll believe right, I'll do right as long as. That you'll never get enlarged. He says, oh no, I'm going to open up a whole new world to you. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him in large supplication. And then look at verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah, in large satisfaction and stillness. Do you know that the way to get more satisfied is to carry a bigger load? I know that sounds crazy, but it's true in God. In God, here's what happens. When you say, Lord, go ahead, whatever you want to do, I'll trust you with it. I will not exchange or excuse or slough off anything. Lord, I'll do this. Lord says, okay, I'm going to enable you to do it. Ready? And suddenly you have more satisfaction. Because watch. The more you're trying to get the pressure off, that is a form of dissatisfaction. But when you just go ahead and stand like the beast of burden does and say, Lord, go ahead, put it on me, it creates a stillness and a calmness that says, we're going to do this and God's going to get me through it. Otherwise, you're trying to throw the load off. I don't know if you've ever seen it, and if you ever saw it, it's unbelievable, but I've seen them take and load a mule up, you know, like pack mules. And if you ever see a mule that decides it doesn't want the pack on it, it's a wild, it's the most dangerous thing you've ever seen. You got stuff tied on both sides, and you use racks that you put on them, and stuff is flying everywhere, and that thing's going crazy because some of them are big and strong, and it's like, I don't think he wants the burden. And I'm telling you, know, sometimes you'll be going along, and God will start working in your life, listen, or a believer's life, and you may have seen it in people's lives, and all of a sudden they just start, you know, doing stuff. You're thinking, what are they doing? They were steady. And God says, yeah, I want you to be steady. I want you to be able to do this and this and this. And then I'm going to add that to it. And they go, oh, no, you're not adding nothing. And they start trying to buck it off. Satisfaction and stillness. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. Enlarge sacrifices. You say, what do you mean by that? Praise is a sacrifice in Hebrews 13. Saying, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I'm going to do right while I'm under the pressure. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. You're not going to grow until you have to ask God to calm your soul. You'll never grow until it's bigger than you. You can't. I mean, the little child that takes the can of beans, you know, and acts like he's weightlifting. You remember that, Gonzalo? You could probably do that. Well, the ladies could. I don't know if all the guys could, but we could do that. Okay? But man, you get one of those big old sets of weights like somebody, and you want to start growing, you got to start working at it. And it takes a sacrifice in that sense. It takes something special in us. Now listen, we've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you even though it's bigger than me. It's bigger than me, Lord. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to manipulate it. I'm not going to slip out from under it. Now watch this. Look at verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the time that their corn and their wine increased. He's talking about harvest. He's talking about it all coming, and man, there's plentifulness, and there's no doubt, and everything's great. This is enlarged spiritual joy.
you know, there's human joy, and it's fine, and I'm glad. There's, you know, I've seen people get more excited over what they're going to have for lunch sometimes than somebody getting saved. It's an amazing thing about, you know, humans and our food and stuff. But spiritual joy. And look at verse 8. Watch this. Enlarge sleep. Not more of it, necessarily, but more out of it. Do you know what the world pays big money for? It's an actual industry trying to get more out of your sleep. Sure. Have you ever had disturbed sleep? If you haven't, you've never had a burden. Boy, I've had trouble. I've had, you know, there's two extremes we go through. One is we just feel like sleeping life away so I don't have to wake up to it. Amen. Amen. Maybe if you ain't never been there, you ain't had no burdens, buddy. But there's times you just wish you could pull the covers over your head and make it turn nighttime again. And then there's the other is you can't get enough rest out of it. And you're not sleeping just to hide. You're sleeping because you're exhausted. And so he says, I'll give you sleep. That's what he says right here. Look, he said, I will both lay me down in peace, watch, and sleep. The world is spending a lot of money trying to get some sleep. And God says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put pressure on you. I'm going to enlarge your ability to get more out of your sleep. You know what that would do for you? That'd rejuvenate you and regenerate you each night. And then look what he says. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety, enlarged safety. Enlarged safety. I'm going to take a minute here and just, I'm going to give you a couple little testimonies. Listen, I've been places where it was not nearly as safe as it is to live here. For example, it wouldn't be safe to drink the water if you want to live very long as an outsider. And you do all kind of different things. You take purifying tabs and all this stuff with you, and it's really dangerous. I've been those kind of places. I've been places where I got caught between the two borders of the country, and the guy shoved me around with an AK-47 in my stomach, and he's saying one language, and I'm saying another, and he ain't got any idea what I'm saying, and he seems like he's getting aggravated. and I'm like, I sure hope, Lord, you show me how not to aggravate this guy too much longer, because he seems really serious about this. Well, I was at a border of a country one time, and a trucker pulled up, and he didn't give them a souvenir, which is a bribe. And you could hear them working him over. He was a big old burly guy. Three of those guys got on him, and man, they worked him over. I know what it's like to be a lot of places where you don't really feel safe. Okay? And yet, to be honest with you, at the same time in those places, you knew as far as God's concerned, you're safe. Whatever was going to happen, there was going to happen. Now, you did your part, right? I mean, when we're driving through the roadblock, they had steel wire down the window so they couldn't throw a hand grenade or something through there to stop the thing. But what I'm trying to tell you is, he said, thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. It is in large safety. Now, watch this. Your world gets bigger. Your world gets bigger. Because God gets bigger. You can be safe anywhere with Jesus. I can, what does the hymn say? Y'all remember? Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Why? Anywhere, anywhere, anywhere. Because I've let him enlarge me. The world would say, you know, a bigger comfort zone, but it's more than that. It's a safety zone. Enlarged safety. I am safe. Brother Roloff used to say, and just a couple days ago on the 2nd November, 1982, he went home to be with the Lord. And he told somebody that morning before his plane went down, he said, this is going to be the greatest day of my life. And whether you believe it or not, it was. The stories that are reliable say they found his big old large print family altar Bible like this. They found him in the wreckage. You know what he knew? Here's what he used to say. You are immortal in the will of God. He said, if you're in the will of God, you'll be here. Amen? And I want to encourage you tonight. Get a larger life. Let God give you a larger, more and more unto the perfect day. Don't try to get out from under the burdens. Let him teach you how to deal with them. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we sure do love your book. And Father, we sure do love the work you do through us. by using this book and the Holy Ghost and the preaching of the Word. And Father, I pray tonight you take all of us and, Lord, do this in our lives. Father, you're working in every life here tonight. I know that for a fact, and we all need this. Lord, these things flow from my need for you every day. And I don't know that I could ever say a year has gone by in the last 36 years of being saved that I didn't need this truth and need it and need to practice it. And Father, I thank you so much that you've proven it true in my life in the same way that you proved it true in this book. And Father, we tonight ask you to take our lives and enlarge them. Lord, by enlarging us, you would enable us to have a greater, larger heart for you and for others and for those to whom we need to minister to. And I pray you'd do that tonight. Father, I pray tonight that you'd take all that we've done. We've sung hymns, Lord. We've prayed. We've preached. And we've taught. And Lord, tonight, I pray you'd fulfill your word. And I commit it to thee now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.